Parshas Achrei Mos Kedoshim has many, many, many mitzvahs in it. And to learn through every mitzvah bi'un would be very enjoyable and very, very meaningful. But there's one particular mitzvah that I'd like to focus on that takes work, and it should change our perspective in everything we do with regard to Ma'od L'Chaveiroi and ultimately Ma'od L'Mokoi. There's a mitzvah in this week's parasha, which every person knows, I believe most of the world knows this mitzvah. The mitzvah, Ahavta L'Re'achel K'moicho Ani Hashem. Ahavta L'Re'achel K'moicho, love your neighbor as yourself, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. So, this it seems almost flippant. People, yeah, love your neighbor. The question is, on a very, very basic level, how can we have a command to love something? If we love somebody, then you love somebody, you don't need a command. If you don't love somebody, then how on earth does a command make the difference? Oh, I love you. It doesn't help just to say it. It doesn't help just to think it. It's got to be actually a love, means an ahava, a real deep, meaningful relationship that you build up with this person you never had beforehand. How do you have a situation of a mitzvah defining the kind of emotion I should have towards another person? That's first of all. Second of all, the very language, Ahavta L'Re'acho K'moicho. What does it mean, love your neighbor K'moicho, like yourself? What is K'moicho? Ahavta L'Re'acho, love your neighbor, what's K'moicho? What does it mean, like yourself? What does it mean by that? And thirdly, what is this Ani Hashem, I am Hashem at the end? Ahavta L'Re'acho K'moicho, finished. What's Ani Hashem, I am Hashem? Why is it necessary to have these words Ani Hashem at the end? So Rav Dessler brings down in the Sefer, not within the Kuntras of Chesed, different part of the Sefer, he says that ultimately there are three levels of Ahava. There are three levels of Ahavta L'Re'acho K'moicho. And the first level is that that's brought down in the Ramban. And the Ramban is a fascinating, it's very, very clear that the Ramban understands what goes through our minds on a regular basis. Let me give an example. The Ramban. I've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed too, that if Chas V'Sholom, Rachmana Litzlan, a person goes through a tragedy, somebody passes away in the family, and there's a levaya, and there's a shiva, people are very happy to go there. Now, although it's very tragic, and although they feel very bad and sad for that person, but ultimately there's a certain feeling there, Baruch Hashem, it's not me. And they don't mind commiserating, they don't mind sympathizing, they don't mind hearing all the person's woe, because Baruch Hashem, it's not me. And therefore, they don't mind going there. They're happy to do the chesed of going to a levaya. Obviously, it's not a nice thing to go to a levaya. But ultimately, the feeling that goes with it is not a difficult feeling to bear. It's not a difficult feeling. Come on. It's not a difficult feeling to have. It doesn't burden you very much, the fact that you're going to a levaya, because Baruch Hashem, you know, I'm doing better than that person. When is it difficult to actually feel for that person? When is it difficult to actually connect with that person? Is when a person is going through a simcha in a position that he is getting something that you do not have. If you're trying to marry off a child and you're looking for this shidduch and that shidduch and going through this boy and your poor daughter is being put through hell, and you're trying everything with money and with connections, and it's just not going. And your neighbor, who's got a daughter who's 2 years younger, gets engaged to a top boy easily the first time. It's very, very difficult for you to actually give over the simcha, the real feeling of happiness, and then really be gracious in a way and say, "Ah, Baruch Hashem, I'm so delighted that you went through it." You say you're so delighted, but really, you know, it really cracks you. It really goes round. It really gets into you. The Ramban says this. Ramban says, a person is impossible, very difficult rather, it's not accepted upon a person to love his friend the way he loves himself. Because it's chayecha koidmin. And he says, a person loves his friend for certain elements, leitivoi, to do good to him, ba'osha, with wealth, but not with his wisdom. However, if he loves him with everything, he said, if you really love somebody, you shouldn't mind if your friend does better than you. I'll tell you an example. A weakness. You know, if a person's a bal tefillah, another bal tefillah comes into shul, and everyone gives him a fantastic shkoyach afterwards. He's really an outstanding voice. If you till now been that voice in shul, and now you've been eclipsed by his voice, it's not easy. So go to him, shkoyach, shkoyach. But it's not easy. That is somebody who ultimately has a good voice. If a person's got a terrible voice, and he really has never had any havamin, he's got no, you know, he's never, once he has got a daven, he's got yotzeit, and everyone else sort of cringes when he just says kaddish. Then if somebody else comes with a nice voice, very nice, that's a nice voice, it doesn't challenge him. A chazan is jealous of a chazan. A chazan is not jealous of a tailor, or a painter, or an artist. An artist is jealous of an artist, he's not jealous of a chazan. He said, V'ahavta re'acha kamecha, number one, is a first basic understanding that you have to understand that anything that a person is like you, you have to be as happy as the other person has what you need, or has the same as you, it doesn't matter. Be happy for that person. Says the Balamusa say, V'ahavta re'acha kamecha. You have to love your friend, even if he's kamecha, even if he's like you, still be happy for him. Get that? Not have to reach or kamoicha, love him like you love yourself. Even if it's kamoicha, even if he's like you, and ultimately, by being like you, he's taking away from your honor. And by being like you, you are not shining in the crowd that you shined beforehand. It doesn't matter. You've got to be as happy for him as yourself. That's what have to reach or kamoicha. It's very difficult. And you feel like you're being taken away, and somebody's taking away, you think, Ani Hashem. Hashem said, I'll compensate. You follow this mitzvah. Get rid of all the kinna, get rid of all the jealousy, get rid of all the taiva, get rid of all the desire to be over and above people, I will compensate. That is the first pshat. Being happy with the other person's gain. Allowing the other person to shine. That is v'ahavta re'acha kamecha. And that is extremely difficult. It's terribly, terribly hard to allow a person to shine when you ultimately are being in the limelight. That is the first mitzvah. That's the first level. That is the lowest level of v'ahavta re'acha kamecha. I saw a beautiful story in Touched by a Story. He said that there was a boy who moved from South America. His name is Juan. Okay, true story. And this boy had come from South America. His father, quote unquote, was working there. But everyone knew his father had deserted the family. His mother moved over with the three children to a little small apartment in California. Didn't say where. And she's living there as a cleaner woman. She's cleaning. She's working there as a cleaner. And they're living there in very, very dire poverty. They're extremely, extremely poor. And this boy was part, they were allowed, he got a scholarship or something. He came to a very wealthy school. And for his bar mitzvah, coming close to his bar mitzvah, his parents, his mother, obviously could not afford to support him and make a beautiful bar mitzvah. So she met with the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, don't worry, leave it to me. You buy some food, we'll make a beautiful bar mitzvah for him. So she went and she borrowed money and she did whatever she can to make the most delicious bar mitzvah possible. In the classroom, they laid the tables and the boys decorated it and they brought different instruments with them. And it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful bar mitzvah. They had lovely food there. The Rebbe spoke, the boy spoke, the mother came, the little brother and sister came. They made a keyboard, the guy started singing and dancing, and he was delighted. It was way beyond any expectations of him. He was delighted. Very happy. The next stage was at Shabbos, he's going to have a bar mitzvah in shul, get called up, and that's it. Get called up in the main shul there, and get an aliyah, and that's it. That same week, there's a boy who is the son of the president of the shul. A wealthy boy, a successful boy, a popular boy. He was the linchpin, he was the chevraman, he was the one who the whole class went round. A very, very nice, likeable boy, but very, very popular. And his father was a wealthy man. And after shul, that very Shabbos, he was going to have an aliyah and have a beautiful, beautiful kiddush for the whole community. A whole community, a beautiful kiddush. And the parents had been planning this. It wasn't going to be luxurious, it wasn't going to be flashy, it was going to be a beautiful, well-planned, enjoyable, how a kiddush should be. This boy came to his mother and said, listen, the bar mitzvah boy, the boy called Zev, said to his mother, I can't do this. I cannot have a bar mitzvah where I have a boy in my very own class who is ultimately going to be sitting somewhere else in the audience when it's his bar mitzvah week. I can't have it. I cannot enjoy my bar mitzvah when there's somebody else in my class who nebuch, unfortunately, cannot afford to have a bar mitzvah. I'd like to share my bar mitzvah with this boy. I'd like him to sit in the top table. I'd like him to, as if we're joint bar mitzvah, we can make one bar mitzvah for both of us. The mother says, listen, you can share your bike, you can share your computer, you're going to share your bar mitzvah. He said, I can't do this. I cannot possibly have a bar mitzvah unless it's shared. So the mother said, this is beautiful. How have I more kids at 13 would be so open and so selfless as you? But I had another problem. If you go to Yuan and you say to him, you know, I'd like you to join in my bar mitzvah, he'll never agree. So he went to him and said to him, listen, I'm a very shy person. I don't look very shy. But for me to sit on the top table as the only bar mitzvah boy amongst all these choshuva people, amongst all these special people, it would be very difficult for me. Do me a favor. Please sit next to me. Let's share a bar mitzvah. Therefore, we can do it together. It won't be so embarrassing for me, and I won't be so shy. Let's have a bar mitzvah. Eventually, he agreed. You saw he was being honest. Eventually, he agreed, and he shared a bar mitzvah with this boy, and they both sat on the top table. Everyone gave mazel tov to both of them. Everyone sang for both of them, and he enjoyed bar mitzvah with his friend. This is a boy of 13. This is a boy where he wants to have his own kovet. Well, you know, his bar mitzvah, he's waiting for it. Somebody else should take away his limelight. Somebody else should take away who he is, where, you know, his position that he is in the shul. This is the first level of Haftarecho Kameicho. It doesn't matter if somebody else is happy. It doesn't matter if somebody else is successful. It takes nothing away from you. Get rid of that kinnah. Get rid of that taiva. Get rid of that kovet. And love your friend. His success should be your success. Many people, they give you a mazel tov, it's like half-hearted mazel tov. You know, you get people who are really, really happy with you. They're really happy for you. They give you such a mazel tov that they're mamish, they're bursting. You can actually see that they're really, absolutely dedicated to your position of success. And that is the first level of Haftarecho Kameicho. But as he said, this is the lowest level. There's a level much, much higher than that. Because this level is ultimately being happy with your success. Says Rav Dessler, there's a level above that. And that is, as you mentioned many times before, avo is from the root hav, to give. When a person gives, and a person invests in another person, then that other person actually becomes a part of the giver. So the giver and the receiver actually become one person. So whereas, in the first case, I am happy for you, in the second case, I'm happy for myself. And that is much greater. Because now it becomes one individual. It's not now anymore me being happy for you, being happy for your success. It's our success. It's us being successful together. It's much more whole. It's much more less. It's much less vulnerable, this feeling. Because in the first case, as soon as you have a bit of kinnah, it falls apart. In this particular case, the second person, the receiver and the giver, actually become one person. And in that case, it's far, far greater. We once gave discovery in a high security jail. When I was in Aish, we gave discovery in a high security jail. And we were talking to the various different people there. And they mentioned that...
Was it a Jewish jail?
Yeah, it wasn't a Jewish jail. There were Jews in the jail. I'm not going to give too many details. And we asked them... You know, they're very happy, they're very excited. What's so exciting? So he said that particular day was an open day. And people came to visit them. This is a high security jail, which means to get in there, these people were serial rapists, some of them shot up kindergartens. I mean, you're dealing here with terrible, terrible people. And we asked them, you know, who comes to visit you people? You know, that would be rude, but do people actually bother to come? So what are you talking about? Everyone had a family member. Everyone had a family who loved them. You know, you see, there's a story the Rabbonim bring down, Reb Nachum Tzvi Berlin, Rav Shiva of Chaim Weizer, said he once went to a hospital and he saw a child, Nebuch, he was completely bloated from medication. He was bruised, he was cut. It's coming. He was bruised, he was cut, he was terribly disformed and disfigured by the medication. To such an extent that people just possibly looked down, they couldn't look at him. And they wished him, you know, they wished him Refuah Shleima, but they looked down. This boy's mother came in and she gave him such a hug and a kiss. cutie, sweetie, and she gave him a hug and a kiss. Unbelievable, hugging him and kissing him. And the Rashiva could not believe that I can do such a thing. How can you kiss and love such a child? Nebuch, the child, literally looked like a monster. And the mother just was, her eyes were shone in pride with the child. What was going on here? The terrace is, did she not see the child? Of course she did. Did she not realize what the child looks like? Of course she did. But she's a mother. That's the answer. Simple. She's a mother. She's invested in this child, and the investment in the child makes that everything else just falls aside. That the child looks terrible, it doesn't matter. That the child, you know, has terrible disfigurement, it doesn't matter. A parent is a parent because they've invested in the child. You ask any pregnant mother, are you going to love your child? Are you going to love your child? You know, child's going to be born. Are you going to love your child? Of course I'm going to love my child. So how do you know your child's not going to be that pain in the neck down the road that everyone hates? Yeah, you're pain in the neck. You know, marriages fall apart. Marriages fall apart all over the place. Places where it's the percentage of success is 20%. Right? Why? Why is it like that where in the opposite case, where you have parent-child relationships, where parents are spoken to by the children a lot worse, the parents love their children a lot more. Why is that? What's going on here? Why is there no divorce between parents and children? There's never been invented such a thing. Probably will soon. But there's never been such a figure of parents divorcing children, children divorcing parents. But in divorcing one another, of course there is. The answer is because the child is part of you. The child is a chelik of you. A spouse isn't. And the more you make a person part of you, you can become to love that person. The difference between a regular person and a godel hador is a godel hador sees the whole world as part of him. And therefore, ultimately, you know, if your foot traps itself in the door and chips a toenail, you know, the hand doesn't stop thumping that foot because, you know, you did something stupid to the body. It's part of the same body. The second level is understanding. Love your friend as if he is you. That's the second way of learning it. He is mamish a chelik of you. And the way you do that is by investing and making him a part of you. Okay? So the first pshat is, v'hafta re'acho k'moicho, means, even if your friend is like you, he's not you. Even if he's like you, and he challenges your position of me, I, as being special, be happy for him. The second level is, make your friend a part of you. V'hafta re'acho k'moicho. Make your friend a part of you by how? By investing in him. By giving him, by davening for him, by doing everything you can to make his life special. That is, that's the second stage. He actually becomes a part of you. But again, that's limited. Because a person can only love another friend, another person, as much as they love themselves, according to this. In other words, if you make your friend, love your friend like you love yourself, what happens if the person doesn't love himself? What happens if a friend doesn't see anything in himself to love? How do you love other people? You know, there's a story of a person wanting to commit suicide. So he decided to learn one last shir before he goes to commit suicide, learn the possible. He takes a gun and shoots his friend. Right? So if you don't love yourself, it's going to be very, very difficult to love somebody else. And therefore, even if you want to love your friend as if he is you, a person, even if he loves himself, the best possible love is still finite, because a person is finite. So what is the next level? The next level, says Rav Dessler, is focusing on v'haftar re'achu k'moicho, ani Hashem. It's focusing on the fact that in every single Jew there's ani Hashem. If you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you work on the appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am going to love everything that you love, that is infinite. Because love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love to infinite being is infinite, and therefore anything that you love, focusing on that infinite, is infinite too. And therefore you can love a person infinitely by focusing on love of Hashem, and understanding that anyone and any Jew who is ultimately a child of Rebbeinu Shleilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves that too. I tell you, there's a story.
How can a finite being like a person love Hashem?
Because it's neshama. The neshama has a tzivui to love, can love the infinite infinitely.
How do you does that work?
Neshama is infinite. And the Kosh Baruch is infinite. Therefore, I can connect infinite to infinite. In every relationship, the relationship is as strong as the weakest link. Like if my neshama, which is infinite, tries to connect with the physicality of another, or physicality of who I am,
I can only love myself as much as my physicality.
Yes. But if it's dealing here with the neshama, which is a mitzvah, which has been the command, to connect with the Kosh Baruch, which is infinite, then infinite can connect with infinite. Okay? Says Rav Dessler. In other words, there's an understanding over here that Ani Hashem is. How? Ani Hashem. Realize who Hashem is. Realize who I am, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and if you love every single Jew. There's a beautiful, beautiful story. There was a man, Nebuch, who was an immigrant, and he came and he lived in Yerushalayim many years ago in Shari Chesed, Yerushalayim. And it's not easy living in Yerushalayim, and his job was to be a street cleaner. And every day he went out and he cleaned the streets, and it was freezing cold, and it was boiling hot, and the kids are not necessarily the nicest kids, and they mocked him, and they laughed at him, and his own kids lost their respect, and he, Nebuch, was feeling so depressed, he was feeling so sad, and day by day, he just went deeper and deeper in his depression. His kids saw his depression, and they didn't do very well in school, and Nebuch and his wife, you know, how much respect can he give a street cleaner? He didn't feel respectful for himself. How much respect can he give a street cleaner? And this is really, things are really going down and really, really getting miserable. One day, he was sweeping around the garbage and a wind came and blew everything away. So he goes back in the end and starts picking each particular piece by itself and he's depressed. He's got in his pocket, his wife gave him a list of groceries he knows that he can't possibly buy, he hasn't got enough money. And he's feeling Nebuch Miyayish, terrible. Out of the blue, somebody walks behind and says to him, I'm so jealous. See, they obviously speaking to someone else and not speaking to me. So I said, I'm so jealous, Rabbi Yid, I'm so jealous of you. So he puts his hands on the broom and says, jealous of me? Look at you. You look like a Rav. You look like a person who teaches Torah. You're jealous of a street cleaner? He says, what are you talking about? You're not a street cleaner, Stam. Do you know where you're cleaning the streets? This is Rabbeinu Shlomo's home. Rabbeinu Shlomo has given you the permission to clean up his own home. Every time you pick a piece of rubbish up in Yerushalayim, you're picking up a piece of rubbish that's making Hashem's home that much more beautiful. You know what the schus is? That a king has chosen you to clean his palace? It's like a king has chosen the prince to take care of his items. What a lucky man you are. Cleaning up the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu every time, every second you're doing, just cleaning up. And the man says, you're right. Thank you very, very much. I never thought of such a thing. For the first time in months, he felt like a mensch. He said to this person, well, what's your name? He said, they call me Aryeh. Aryeh. And I thank you very much. Please carry on doing your work. Obviously, who's this Aryeh? Rav Aryeh Levine. Rav Aryeh Levine saw a street cleaner and made him feel like a prince. Rav Aryeh Levine went to the prisons. And they had their murderers, they had the criminals, they had people there who are terrorists. Okay, they're doing things to the British army, they're terrorists, and they were caught. And what these people would do for Rav Aryeh, there was one time where they had a Kriyas HaTorah, and Rav Aryeh came, who's supposed to be the Baal Kriya, he used to come to the shul every single Shabbos, one which Shabbos never came. And the word went round, there were Aryeh's daughters in critical condition. So at the Mishab Beirach, the criminal who was called up for Kriyan, said, Babu, what will you be Menadav? I am going to give as a gift 1 year of my life for Rav Aryeh's daughter. Rabbeinu Shlomo, take a year of my life and give it to Rav Aryeh. These are people who would do anything to make a bit of extra money. And the Levi said, Rabbeinu Shlomo, take 2 years of my life. And Shishu, or 3 years. And so too went on and on through until until people were mamash, they were crying, Rabbeinu Shlomo, take away my whole life. Save the life of Rav Aryeh's daughter. These are people who do anything to look after themselves, selfish criminals. And you can go to the very Ani Hashem of every single one of them and bring it out and make them into individuals. That's V'ahavta Re'echa K'moicha Ani Hashem. Every Jew you see, if you love the Rebbeinu Shleilam, you love a Jew. You don't even need to love yourself. That's second stage. You love the Rebbeinu Shleilam, you love the Jew. V'ahavta Re'echa K'moicha Ani Hashem. In these particular times, we're going through a very, very hard stage of the Sefirot HaOmer. Now, I just want to paint to you a picture which I've thought a lot about. And it's you know, we hear about why he's sitting by Velus. But let's focus on what happened exactly. Rabbi Akiva, who was Rabbi Akiva? Who was Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva was an Am Ha'aretz in a time when a lot of people were not Amoratzim. He was a shepherd, a Parshat shepherd, and a daughter of the wealthiest man in town. Realize what a wonderful man he is, that he's got good midas, and he's a tsanua, and he's modest, and she wanted to marry him. And her father said, if you marry him, I'm throwing you out of the house. I'm throwing you out. She didn't care. She married him. And her father threw them out. And they were living there as paupers, terrible, in the fields, on straw. When the father living in this huge mansion, he was abused. He was laughed at. His wife said, go and learn Torah. So I should go and learn Torah? How should I go and learn Torah? I can't even read. He went eventually and he sat down in a cheder with little 3-4-year-old kids learning Aleph Beis. Right from the beginning, he learned Aleph Beis. Aleph, Beis, Gimels, learn to read, put words together. Everyone's laughing at him. He's the oldest man there. He's an Avreich sitting in a kindergarten. Doesn't matter. He was sitting there. He played with them outside. He was a cheder kid when he was 40 years old. That's what he was. Nothing. Years passed by. Nothing stopped him. Years passed by and he became a Tanna. And only become a Tanna, he became a Rebbe of 24,000 Tanoim. Not Talmidim, 24,000 Tanoim. Can you imagine what our Gemara would look like if his 24,000 Tanoim would still be alive? It'd be hard to finish us, right? 24,000 Tanoim.
Maybe there wouldn't have been anything.
Maybe. But 24, can you imagine Yeshiva? You know what the Mir looks like, Lahavdol? With 5,000 or 6,000. 24,000 Tanoim. Every single one was an Ilui, was Torah Shabbat Peh to them, was completely open. He was a Rosh Hashiva of the greatest levels. Can you imagine when he walked, what was going on there everywhere? You know, what Shabbos looked like, what a Yom Kippur looked like. In his Shiva, 24,000 Talmidim. And within 33 days, he lost everything. Every last one of his Talmidim died. 24,000 Talmidim died. They all died. Every single one of them died. Every one of them died. And Torah was Shomim. There was no Torah being learnt. What did he do? He picked himself up and he went to a different part of Eretz Yisrael and found 5 Talmidim and started all over again. Now, what would you do in that position? What would anyone do in that position?
Give up.
Give up! Listen, I started from here. I built up a yeshiva. It's all decimated. I gave up 24 years of my life for this. It's decimated. There's nothing left. There's probably something wrong with me. As a Rosh Yeshiva, imagine Chas V'Shalom in the yeshiva, a bocha dies. Yeah, imagine what a Kenesis Oiris would be. There'd be big tshuva and imagine 10 bochrim died. 100 bochrim died. 24,000 Talmidim. He just, you know, that's it, finished. Broken man. He'll go crazy. What does he do? No. He goes somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael. He starts off again. That's one part of Rabbi Akiva. How? That's one part of Rabbi Akiva. There's a Gemara in the Makkos. The Gemara in the Makkos says that they're walking on Har Bayis. He's walking out of Tanoim. And they saw a Shual, a fox, walking out the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. And they all started crying. They've just been, it's fresh to them. The base Midrash had been destroyed, it's fresh. A beautiful, glorious base Midrash is destroyed. And what did he do? He laughed. He laughed. So they said, why are you laughing? So he said, why are you crying? So he said, I'm crying. Listen, look what's going on. And he laughed. He said, the Nabor, this will be Mekuyim, that will be Mekuyim as well. That will be fulfilled as well. Rabbi Isai, very nice, it will be fulfilled. But right now we're in Golus. Right now the Romans have control. Right now it's terrible. How can you laugh? Of course it will be fulfilled in the future. But right now it's terrible. How can you laugh? Another Gemara. The Gemara says in Yuma. The Mishnah says in Yuma. Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael. Mi metar eschem. Avinu shebashamayim. On the end of Yuma, Rabbi Akiva had seen the base, the Kodesh HaKadoshim when the Kohen Gadol came out. He saw what it was like in time of the base of Mikdash. He saw the fire. He saw what was going on in the base of Mikdash. You know what? It got destroyed. And when it all got destroyed, everyone was terribly depressed. How will I have a Yom Kippur again? He said, no. Adarab, on the contrary. You're making a big, big mistake. Your mistake is that Kodesh Baruch Hu now is metaher you. HaKodesh Baruch Hu cleanses you. Nothing to be upset about. How did he do it? It's not such a terribly depressing thing. But that's not the end. It's not the end. The Gemara says in Brachos, the Samach Aleph, at the end of his life, they caught him, they imprisoned him, and they started ripping his skin off him with blades. He's bleeding to death. And what was he doing?
He's happy.
He was saying Kriya Shema. And it's Amidim said to him, Rebbe, Ad Kan. No, how far can he do this? He said, what are you talking about? My whole life I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting to say B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Midech with all your life. The first opportunity, fantastic, Baruch Hashem, thank you. I shouldn't do it. And he said, Achot. And then he said, Achot. He died that second. How did he do this? What's this Rebbe Akiva? The answer is, there's a Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim said, there's many, many Mishnahs. It talks about a Keli that is Tomei, and if it gets destroyed, it becomes Tohu. So how far does a Keli got to be destroyed to become Tohu? There's many Mishnahs in Perek Chof Beis in Kalim. Mishnah Zayin talks about a Keli with half the seats broken. Again and again, Rebbe Akiva says, even if the Keli is a bit broken, it doesn't matter. It's still Tomei. Why? Because you can still use it. And the Chama said, nah, it's broken, it can't be used anything, it's Tohu. What's going on here? What's the machlekas over here? The machlekas is, Rebbe Akiva had a hashkofa. That however bad things are, there's always a sign of hope. And you got to focus on the hope. And if you focus on the hope, the most tragic and most terrible things can look wonderful. You can have a base of Mikdash that's destroyed. Fantastic, Baruch Hashem, in the future, the other Nebuah, there's going to be a new base of Mikdash. His skin can be ripped off him. Doesn't matter, I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on being a kind of Mitzvah Deraisa of Kriya Shema, the way it should be done. His whole yeshiva is decimated. Doesn't matter. I have a new future. I can bring 5 new Talmidim to make a new yeshiva. This is Rabbi Akiva who says, "Va'ahavto l'rei achol kamoicha ani Hashem." What did Akiva say? What's this, Rabbi Akiva? Every single Jew, however terrible he looks, and however nebuch he looks, in ruchnius or gashmius, it makes no difference. It doesn't make any difference at all. The answer is, there's always a glimmer of Yiddishkeit inside him. There's always a glimmer of Ani Hashem. You always got to focus on the good. And if you focus on the good of any Jew, the good can be a small midah tova that he may have, or it could be the fact that he's a son of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. This Rabbi Akiva who worked his whole life on focusing on the good, he taught us how to do v'hafta re'achol k'moicha in the ultimate way. Focus on the smallest bit of good of every individual. You focus on it, it's fantastic. You can reach the highest levels of Rechel Kameichel. Focus on the fact that every single Jew is a child of Rebbeinu Shalom. You can love them. Right now you don't. You focus on love to Rebbeinu Shalom. You realize Rebbeinu Shalom loves them. You've got to love them too. If you focus on that, you focus on Zek Fal Godla Batoira. This will help a person get themselves out of the selfishness of being worried about the other person taking away the limelight. Of allowing the other person to strive, to be successful, to be happy with their triumph, to be happy with their success. That's the first level. The second level is giving of the person, making the feeling that the other person is actually you, being the other person. Have to reachal komoicho, meaning that make the person komoicho actually like you. And the third pesha is if you can't actually make a person like you, there's one stage even better though, and that is focusing on Ani Hashem, focusing that every single one of Klal Yisrael is the creation of the Rebbeinu Shloilom. The Rikant, he says, "Fin ha'oyev eschaveroi hanaseh b'tzelem elokim, hu oyev Hashem yisporuchu mechabdoi." If a person loves a human being who's created in the form of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he is loving the Rebbeinu Shloilom. You can love everybody. You focus on the good, you focus on the Yiddishkeit, you focus on the Nakuda of Ahava Hashem has to this person, then a person can love everybody. And that is the mitzvah after Rechol Kamecha. It's extremely difficult. And to just say, love your neighbor, it's not like that. It is something which takes constant work. But ultimately, the schar of this is Zeh Kal Gadol B'Torah. This is ultimately going to allow you with the Ban Adam Chaveroi. And if a person does that correctly, then even Ban Adam L'Mokoyim is also going to be helped in ways that will can surpass our greatest aspirations. Yeah.